First of all, what a privilege it is just to be with you. And I know tomorrow is a very special day for many of you, and weekends and everything you're planning and all those type of things. And I just want to tell you, it's an honor. I love being part of the Women's Crucio. There's something unique and special about the Women's Crucio that really give me such joy. And so I'm really honored to serve with you. We're going to do something fun today in terms of how to really facilitate a table discussion. How many people have favorite comics? Okay, what's your favorite comic?
Avengers.
Yeah. Okay, Avengers.
Like a comic or like funny comic?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because, see, that's a different generation. So the millennials, when they think comics, they're thinking comics, like that. But I'm just thinking comedians. Does anybody have any favorite comedians? It's harder now, right? Because most of the comedians curse a lot and all that. But
Ken Davis, he's kind of like an older Christian comedian.
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah. So
Red Skelton.
Red Skelton. And for now, we're dating ourselves. But if you remember Red Skelton, one of the things about him, he'd laugh at his own jokes and make us laugh. Who else?
Robin Williams.
You know, does anybody remember Jonathan Winters?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So Robin Williams' hero was actually Jonathan Winters. And so when he had Mork and Mindy, that old TV show they had, he would bring Jonathan Winters in there. And the truth was, Mork and Mindy, about 90% of what happened there was not in script. It was all improvisation. And they would just allow Robin Williams to do improv, and they had the greatest kick in all the world to do that, because what they did was carry on the conversation as Robin Williams would act out. And they would begin the whole process of learning the skills of improvisation. Now, I know there's on a TV show, there's improvs where people have a skit and they tell you and they have like four comedians, then they try to do improvisation with each other coming together. Well, that's kind of the key of doing table discussion. It's kind of the key of understanding that what we try to do at any table discussion is to engage in the other people to continue the conversation that engages other people to continue the conversation that engages other people to continue the conversation. So I want to give you just kind of five little rules or guidelines for improvisation to have a lively, productive discussion in your group and how you meet with one another. As you talk to each other. I wish we had the film, because I'd show you the film of Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters and how they interact with each other, and you'd be rolling the aisles. They would really think you're kind of the holy rollers. I mean, it'd be really so funny. But the whole idea of improvisation has to deal with the concept of play. That really what you're doing as you're engaging in conversation with an individual is that you're learning how to play well with other people. I mean, we tell that to our children all the time. Play well with other people. And so when your children don't play well, what happens? What do?
They fight,
they squabble, they'll use a word, two-letter word. When someone's grabbing their toy, they'll say no in that. So all those kind of things are designed to what we call blocking. And it really blocks an engagement in terms of conversation. And so the goal in any type of effective table discussions or effective discussions there is understanding what you're doing is simply playing well with other people. You're like a little kid learning to play well with other children. And so the key of the conversation is that you never use the word no about anything. If they say something, you would say the word yes and, as in terms of that you're continuing. Yes, I heard you, and you may add to what the conversation is. And in fact, we're going to try that in a few moments. And the key to say yes and is that you really have to listen carefully to what that person's saying. So many times you know conversations that are stoppers when a person can't wait to say what they want to say, so they actually haven't listened to the other person. And so conversations are like this. And by the way, a lot of arguments are like that. So when you're talking, you really begin the process of yes and you're listening very carefully to what they are telling you. I'll never forget the time It was at North Coast Calvary Chapel, and we had a friend that was there who was telling me that she likes to run. And there was so much noise going around, and I couldn't hear all the things she was doing, and that she likes to run alone. And I say, and after she was done speaking, first question that came out of my mouth was, do you like to run? And she looked at me like, I just told you what that was. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, do you run with friends? And she was telling me that she ran alone. I wasn't listening, I couldn't hear what she was saying, so listen carefully. And the fourth thing to remember is just trust the process. Don't worry about any agenda that you're trying to accomplish. Just trust the process of the conversation. Remember that in Isaiah chapter 62, that you are a crown. You're a jewel in the crown of God. And that you are completely safe and secure. You are treasured by the Lord. And so you need to just kind of trust the process in the conversation. The other thing to remember is there's no mistakes. So when you're doing table conversations, you don't make mistakes when you carry on improvisation as you're talking to the individual. Most of the mistakes happen when you start blocking people, saying no. So I'm going to demonstrate this. I'm going to bring Father Matthew and Deacon Alex, if they can come out.
No.
That was called blocking. And what does that do to a conversation? It stops the conversation, doesn't it? So Matthew and Alex, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of tell a story, and I want us to practice this concept of yes and as we begin. And I'm so grateful you two have agreed to do this. And
Eagerly.
The Lord has spoken again in an audible voice.
That's right. So I'm going to tell this story, and we'll see how this conversation begins to develop as we talk. This past football season, I went to see the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, and they were playing the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes, and it was cold.
And I'm sure there was a lot of booing going on because it was the Los Angeles Chargers now.
Yes, and people really do complain in San Diego about the Chargers, but everybody seems to like Philip Rivers.
Yes. And Matthew especially was really impacted by the Chargers' move from San Diego to Los Angeles. I don't know how he's doing with it.
I think I'm still torn up on the inside, and it's bringing out some pain and grief as now you bring it up and throw it in my face. Thank you, Alex.
Yes, but one of the neat things about Alex is that as much as he brings that up to you, he really cares about how you're feeling.
Yes. And I do.
I do reminds me of a time that you got married. Were you there, Father Tom?
Yes. And Bobby was too. And it was a delightful time. We had tears in our eyes when Alex got married.
Yes. And I was there too.
We'll do it one more time.
Okay.
Were the tears because of who he was marrying? I'm just curious.
Yes, because she was so beautiful and wonderful, and we treated her like a daughter since she was 15 years of age, and it was just a wonderful experience.
Yep, it was.
Okay. So that's just part of improvisation at certain degrees, doing well and not as well as you engage with each other, but it was kind of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of coming across. So we're going to do the same thing, but you're going to be the group now. And I'm going to do a story called Back in My Day. Okay? And then we're going to start Back in My Day, and what we'll do is I'll turn it over to you, and you'll say yes and everybody will say, after you're done, you'll say yes and to tell the story, and then yes and then we'll go like this all the way across, and then we'll go there, yes and, all the way to the end, and then we'll stop with Lauren over there, okay?
Yes.
And then I will take
it.
Back in my day, my parents would make me do chores, even after school, walking 2 miles up a hill, going to school and coming back, and my parents didn't even pay me.
Yes, and I must have been in those same days because I wasn't paid. You did chores to help because you were part of a family, and that's what families do.
Yes, and I had to ride a bicycle uphill before I got to school. I had to do chores. When I came back from school, I had to do chores.
Yes, and I had to sit at the bus stop in the freezing 0-degree temperature in the howling wind for 20 minutes every winter morning.
Yes, and I did get paid for doing my chores, 25 cents. And then I go to Baskin Robbins and buy an ice cream cone. And I too walked in the snow and sleet to go to school.
Yes, that sounds cold.
Yes, and by the way, that was wonderful. So in that process of having us talk to one another, did you learn things about each other?
Yes.
And so what happens in that process, allowing this conversation to continue of saying yes and allows the other people to talk. Now, what would block that is you use words like but in terms of argument or no in that, or sometimes maybe having small conversations going on a table of five that gather in because everybody has to be engaged in terms of the story. And it was wonderful to hear your stories. Just in just this short exercise, we know more things about each other than we did before, on a very personal level. That's how you begin facilitating a table discussion and talking to one another. So I just have some just quick points to make and then we'll wrap it up in initiating this conversation. Be sure you're always, when you introduce yourselves to your people and your table, and always do it with a smile. And it's always good to have talk about outside interests, family, personal experiences, reading books. In fact, in your handout, there's a article that's some, it's open at the very end of your, that talks about some statements that open up conversations for you that you can do. The whole point is that you have to be real to them. You have to, don't pretend to be something you're not. Don't presume, you know, just because you're the table leader or whatever, that you're the authority on anything out this. What you are is a facilitator of the discussion. You are the yes and that contributes to everyone that is there. You might want to begin the meeting sometime. It's what's the one thing you really want to experience in the group? And gain that as a conversation, if it's appropriate. Learn their name, learn how to pronounce it correctly, make sure they see each other. The key is eyeball to eyeball contact. My middle son, David, who's now 36, he taught me this lesson when I was three in terms of, when he was three, not when I was three, when he was three. I was busy one Saturday morning, and I was reading the newspaper, had a cup of coffee in my hand, and David was chirping like a bird telling me his day. And being the good father that I am, I would grunt occasionally to hear what he had to say. And he knew I wasn't listening. And so David stopped and he says, Daddy, you're not listening. And I said, David, I'll put down the paper and I'll listen. And so he began to tell me his day. And he proceeded to keep talking and keep talking and keep talking and keep talking. Before I knew it, he was talking. I was back to grunting and went back to my paper. Well, that was it for David. He puts down his toys and he walks away. And he's going into his room, and I'd like to say that I felt a great amount of guilt, but I didn't. I thought I'd pay for therapy later for him and deal in that area. And so I'm reading the paper, and all of a sudden David's coming in, and he's a southpaw, left-handed. He's coming in, and as he walks in, he has this look on his face, and he takes this left paw, and he knocks down my newspaper. And I said, David Andrew Barron, what in the world are you doing? And he says, Daddy, you're not listening to me. And I said, David, I am. And he says, no, Daddy, no, Daddy. To listen, you need to listen with your eyes. And he put his hands like this, so you need to listen with your eyes. If you want to have effective table discussions, you need to listen with your eyes. I may be a romantic, but I do believe they're the windows to the soul. So it's really kind of a aspect of really watching them as you're talking to them and spend time with them. Encourage them. Support them. Don't admonish anybody. Encourage that conversation that you have. arrive early to the table so that you're the first one at the table so you can begin chatting. And the key is to facilitate, not dominate. Can you imagine what would happen if we just had one person in our group here just dominate the conversation? Maybe took 30 minutes to share. What would it do to the group? It would just
shut them down.
So the goal is to facilitate, not dominate. And here's, remember, the power is always in the question. It's not actually in the answer, it's the question. The why, the what's, the who, the where's, and all that are really important. And so many times maybe use reflective listening. What I'm hearing you say, Dolly, is in this area, and then you're just doing reflecting. She goes, yes, and amplifies a little bit. Many times have tissues that are available, you know, at the table there, so it's there. But don't give them a tissue. When anybody's crying, don't give them a tissue. You actually cut off communication. You allow them, you have it available, and you allow them to pick up the tissue if they want. But the moment you hand them tissues, you're actually telling them that you're uncomfortable about their tears. And so they need to be able to have that available to them. Many times we think it's a nice gesture, but we're actually cutting off communication for them at that point. You can take a look at the other pages that we have in the back in terms of, one other thing I just want to say is have the introverts contribute. Know your introverts. The extroverts, no problem. But the introverts, so make sure who's not talking there as you're giving the power of the question. And always beware of how much time. The neat thing about this Curcio with the theme is that the royal talks are shorter and there's more time for conversation. And so this is really a time where facilitation. In adult learning, the transformational cycle is short teachings, then sometimes talking and practice, but that reflective aspect is actually longer than the teaching. That's where adults learn for transformation. So shorter training, longer reflections as they dialogue with each other. And the key is relax, be calm, have that kind of non-anxious presence. So I'm out of time, but hopefully this exercise will help us in terms of facilitating table discussion. And would you give a big hand to our two stars over here? Yeah. Thank you. That's good. So, Babe, I'm turning it back over to you.
Thank you.